This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. So find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I'm Jamie Beebe.
And I'm Jake Deptula. We're the host of the Strictly Stalking podcast.
Strictly Stalking is a true crime podcast that explores stalking stories told by the survivors in their own words.
Join us every Tuesday as we interview survivors, advocates, and experts to give you a deep dive into the workings of a stalking case.
Would you know where to turn if you or someone you know is being stalked? We'll also give you the resources to fight back, know your rights, and get justice.
Find Strictly Stalking wherever you listen to podcasts, from Podcast One.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 298 of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. I'm Mike Ferguson, and with me, as always, is my partner in true crime, Mike Gibson. Gibby, what is going on with you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How about you?
I am very well.
Yeah?
Having a good week. Just loving life, man.
That's how you should be.
I know.
Loving it, man.
I know.
Living, loving. Whatever else the song says.
Seems like a song, yeah,
yeah.
That you were trying to go into and then forgot the rest of it.
I did.
Hey, let's go ahead and give our Patreon shout outs. We had Liz M.
Hey, M.
Arian Palmer.
Hey, thank you, Arian.
Michael McDougal.
What's going on, McDougal?
Ashley Loftus.
Hey, Loftus.
Michelle Lake.
Hey, Lake.
Valour Einerson.
Well, appreciate that, Valour.
Shailene Springer.
What's going on, Springer?
Michael Brookman.
Hey, Michael.
Allison Kenny.
Hey, appreciate that, Kenny.
Jessica Cardenas.
Ah, Cardenas.
Jenny Russell jumped out at her highest level.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Russells.
Kevin Lawrence.
Hey, Lawrence.
Tom Woodall.
What's going on, Tom?
Jess H.
Hey, Jess.
Janice Henderson.
I appreciate that, Janice.
Jana B. jumped out at her highest level.
Man, Jana, thank you.
Josephine Sundin.
What's going on, Sundin?
And last but not least, Margaret Spell.
There's Margaret.
And then if we go back into the vault, this week we selected Katie Houck.
Look at you, Katie.
So appreciate all that support. And yeah. Then on PayPal, we had donations from Chris Baines.
Hey, Chris.
A very large donation from Peter Doman.
My surprise. Thanks, Peter.
And a donation from Johnny Sparks.
Thank you, Johnny.
So appreciate all of it. Gibbs, we have a lot out right now.
We do.
On Patreon, we released a new episode Saturday night on Casey Viner. And this is kind of a different type of episode for us. This is a guy who was a gamer, got into a beef with another gamer, and was involved in what was called a swatting incident. And that was a new term for us. We had to kind of familiarize ourselves with, but it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
And obviously we go into what happened after this swatting incident that they thought was a prank, and it turned out to be deadly. We also have a brand new TCAT episode out on 14-year-old Cody Posey, who in 2004 killed his father, stepmother, and stepsister. He admitted to the crimes.
He did.
Prosecutor said, you know, he was a cold, calculated murderer. The defense brought up that he was abused.
Yeah, they told a different story.
Yeah. So it kind of goes from there.
Both good episodes, though.
Yeah, definitely check those out. All right, buddy. Are you ready to get into this episode of True Crime All the Time Unsolved?
I'm always ready for that.
We are talking about the disappearance of Keyshia Jacobs. In September 2016, Keyshia Jacobs told her mother that she was going out to spend the night with a friend. She never came home and has not been seen or heard from since. Keyshia Jacobs was born on August 6, 1995. At the time of her disappearance, she was 21 years old and lived in Richmond, Virginia. Keyshia was close with her older brother, Devon Jacobs, who was born in 1991, and her mother, Toni Jacobs. Toni was born in Richmond. She joined the Army after high school and served during Desert Storm. Toni was a single mother to her two children.
So we got a close-knit family here.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems that way. Toni told Dateline that Keyshia didn't know what she wanted to do for her career, but she worked hard and was proud of earning her own money. She said Keyshia was very family-oriented and used to be her little sidekick.
I was trying to think. I don't know how many 21-year-olds really know what they want to do with their lives, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe even less today than people used to know. People, I think, are spending longer in school, or they're taking gap years. It's taking them longer, right, maybe to get into their full-time profession or what may be their full-time profession. I also feel like, you know, nowadays you need an advanced degree, especially in certain fields, because things are pretty competitive.
Yeah, extremely competitive out there.
Toni described Keyshia as a sweet and loving person. She told CBS 6, she used to hug me all the time for no reason. She'd say, "Mom, I need a hug." And I'd be like, "Keyshia, I just gave you a hug 5 minutes ago."
But you know what? You love those hugs from your kids, man. They're the best.
And I'm telling you what, I miss them. I still get them, but they're a little less often than they used to be.
Right.
You know, when the kids were little, they loved to give you the hugs. And man, that's like the best feeling in the world. Now, when I get them today, it might be even better because they're a little more stingy with the hugs, you know? So you get one today and it's like, oh, that really means something.
Exactly.
But I want to go back to the little sidekick. You know, those are fun days too.
Oh, for sure.
Where, and I'll be honest, my girls were more like that with my wife. But, you know, there were times where they just followed her around. They really were like her little sidekick. Sometimes they would do it with me, but most of the time it was with mom. And and I know she misses that as well. Toni told Dateline's Missing in America podcast about Keyshia's relationship with her brother. She said he was incarcerated for a short period of time and she was excited that he was home. So that was her main focus. Like, her best friend, her brother was home, and her main priority was making sure he stayed out of trouble. Toni said that Keyshia was a homebody and she didn't worry about her daughter getting into trouble. And I've got a very similar situation with both of my daughters. They are homebodies.
Yeah.
They don't really go out partying and, you know, they don't stay out late. And it's been easier for me as a dad because of that.
Oh, yeah. It makes it less scary.
Yeah. I mean, I was the complete opposite. When I was their age, my mom was trying to chase me down, figuring out where I was. Yeah. And, you know, I was fighting curfew and breaking curfew and all that.
Trouble.
I was, man. Troublemaker. Keyshia Jacobs went missing on September 26, 2016. That evening, she was getting ready to go out with a friend. Toni said that Keyshia was pretty upset because she had gotten into an argument with her boyfriend. However, by the time she left the house, she had calmed down. She planned to return early the next morning to make pancakes for her brother. Toni said that she told Keyshia to be careful and asked her to let her know once she made it there. And those kind of stories in these cases, they really scare me.
Sure.
Man, because, you know, that's the exact same thing I say to my girls when they leave the house. please be careful. Now, it's not so much let me know when you get there anymore, because I have that app that lets me know where they are.
Right, right.
But I'm pretty routine about saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Be careful driving, you know, stay safe or whatever it is. And to think that that's the last thing that you'll ever say to your child, I mean, it shakes me down to my core. It really does. It scares me.
Yeah, it makes me nervous because I'm similar like you are with my kids. And with my youngest being in California now, you know, different time zone, you know, I'm constantly texting him like, hey, you okay?
How's it going?
You know, I just want to know that, you know, you're good, you know? So, and so it's hard, you know, because sometimes I just want to know, just even if it's just a short little text.
Well, and it gets tougher as they get older.
Yeah.
You know, you want to kind of know that they're okay 24 hours a day, but as they get older, they don't check in as much.
Well, they do not.
They get out on their own, and, you know, it gets tough on us parents.
Oh, yeah.
Keisha went to a friend's house near Chimborazo Park in the Churchill neighborhood of Richmond. Tony got ready for bed around 11 p.m. She received a text from Keisha. She told Dateline, she texted me and told me that she was there. And I was like, just be careful. I love you. She was like, I love you too. This was the last time Tony heard from Keisha. Tony told Dateline, since she's 21 years old, I didn't even ask which friend she was going to. Again, she's 21, so I try not to pry too much.
I get that, you know? I mean, they're young adults. They're going to do what they want to do, and they have the right to do that.
As it turned out, Keisha was out with a female friend that Tony didn't like. This friend was one of the last people to see Keisha, along with a male friend. Tony has said that she trusted Keisha's male friend, but did not care for the female friend. That was the phrase that she's used. Tony told Josh Mankiewicz on the Missing in America podcast, it was just something about the girl. I can't even put my finger on it, but I didn't think she was a good friend to Keisha.
Look, in the past, I've had similar feelings about a certain friend, you know, of one of my kids. You know, yeah. You could just, you know, you
get a vibe,
yeah.
Sometimes.
And you're like, why does my kid really like this person? Because I don't understand that.
Yeah, I get that. But Tony didn't like other friends of Keisha's. She told Dateline, I just used to talk to her and be like, hey, just be cautious. Everybody that says they're your friend is not your friend. A real friend would try to make sure you stay on the positive end, up and up. So she may have had one or two that were okay, and then she had some that was like questionable. Now, you could probably say that about a lot of people.
Sure, you could.
According to a September 2021 article by CBS6, Keisha was last seen with a young man who rented a room in a house on Broad Street in Churchill. She didn't come home on September 27th. Tony called Keisha on her lunch break that day, but the calls went to voicemail. So Tony knew something was wrong. She continued calling. She texted Davon and asked if he'd heard from her. He hadn't. She started calling Keisha's friends. They told her that they would call around and see if anybody had heard from her, but no one had.
So this is where the nightmare starts coming in.
Yeah, there's a part in every episode we do on Unsolved, you know, where a parent is not sure where their child is. Now, this child is 21 years old, but it doesn't matter.
No.
You don't know where they are. You can't get a hold of them. And at a certain point, you have to get that sinking feeling.
Yeah.
Because this was very unusual behavior for Keisha, and that's what worried Tony. She said in the Missing in America podcast, I tried to explain to people that even though her phone was broken, she would use somebody else's phone to let me know that she's okay or what's going on. Or she'd log on to Facebook and message me there. According to Dateline, after a full day without hearing from her daughter, Tony tried to sleep, but she couldn't. She was frantic. She said, the next morning, I put my clothes on. I'm like, something's wrong. I know something's wrong, so I have to do something. I just started knocking on people's doors.
There's a mom trying to figure out what's going on with her daughter.
but also not really knowing what to do. Where do you start? And she just starts knocking on people's doors.
Yeah.
She got to do something. According to Dateline, no one had heard from Keisha. Tony's sister convinced her to report her daughter missing. And she was reported missing on September 28th around 2 a.m. Tony went to the Richmond police station, but it was closed. So she had to call 911 to get someone to come to the door. She told the officer that her daughter was missing. And according to Tony, the police officer tells me she's 21. How do you know she just doesn't want to be found?
Man, I get it. But when you have a certain type of relationship with your kid, sometimes you just know. I think you feel like you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But I do get the fact that she's 21 years old. Now, we used to hear this in cases where kids were 13, 14, 15.
Oh, yeah.
And that would anger us, and I'm sure everybody listening. I do understand. A 21-year-old has the right to kind of get lost and not be found for a while.
Yeah.
If they want to. They don't have to report back. But Tony was crying and pleading with the officer. She showed him the text messages from her daughter and said that she heard from her every day, multiple times a day. So the officer took Keisha's information and said a detective would contact Tony the next day. And I think that goes back to your point, right? What type of a relationship do you have? Okay, we talk multiple times a day.
Right.
So it's not like her.
To miss a whole day.
Yeah, to miss even one day.
Yeah.
But I also think what you see there is a mother who is probably just not going to accept that answer.
Right.
And it is going to badger, plead, cry, do whatever she has to do to convince this police officer to help her.
Tony is not somebody that's just going to sit down and wait.
No. And she doesn't wait. She started her own investigation. She knew that Keisha's male friend had dropped her off and her female friend off at a house in Churchill. So she decided that she would go there herself. She told CBS 6 in July 2022, "That evening, I'm sitting in my living room with my son and a couple of my friends, and I get a knock on the door. It's Keisha's friend, the guy who dropped her off at the house on Broad Street, and a couple other friends proceeded to tell me that, hey, we went to the house that we dropped her off at, and the guy said she wasn't there." So Tony had these friends take her to the house where she had been dropped off. It was a two-story red brick row house in Churchill. Tony knocked on the door. A man in his 30s named Otis answered the door. For several years, Otis's full name wasn't made public, but now we know that his name is Otis Tucker. Tony told 8 News that Otis said he knew Keisha through a mutual friend. When Otis was asked about her, he said he didn't know anything about her disappearance. He claimed he saw her around 5 p.m. Tony corrected him and said that she had spoken to Keisha and knew she was home at that time. Tony said that Otis then changed the time to 6, 6:30, and 7.
It's not really consistent with his information.
Not at all. And I think from Tony's perspective, you have to see that as a red flag. Okay, it can't be 5 o'clock. I know it can't be because I know my daughter was at home. Well, it must have been 6. It must have been 6:30. It must have been 7. The alarm are going off, you know, in your head. But I also want to talk about, you know, the fact that she's just going right up to talk to this person. No fear at this point, because I think any fear that she would have had or may have had is outweighed by the determination and kind of the franticness, if that's even a word, to find her daughter.
She's putting her daughter well in front of her own safety.
Oh, needs. Yeah, absolutely. But I know this conversation with Otis didn't set well with Tony because she called the police immediately. Officers came to the house. They even went inside to look for Keisha, but she wasn't there. detectives canvassed the area and they passed out flyers, but they didn't find her. Tony told Dateline that the police hadn't found her daughter's cell phone, ID, or the bag of clothes she had taken with her for the night. Dateline's Missing in America reported that someone approached Tony with their phone. On the other end was a woman who knew Otis. Tony said, she basically told me that he beat her and refused to let her leave and then did sexual things to her. Tony told Dateline, I broke down because he probably did the same thing to her. You know, that's when it kicks in. Your worst nightmare.
Yeah, I'm sure she was thinking, this Otis guy probably did that to my daughter.
Well, if he's willing to do it to this woman who's, you know, I'm talking to on the phone, then yeah, he has the propensity. He has the level of depravity to do it to another person. Now, Keisha had never mentioned Otis or going to that particular house, but Tony said, the strange thing is when I went to that home and when I questioned him and I was like, do you know Keisha? He was like, yeah, I know her. I know Keisha always comes over with, and then he named that female friend that I don't care about. Tony went on to say that she found out later that this best friend had romantic interests with this man. Tony said that Keisha's boyfriend came to the house after Keisha went missing. He was scared of Keisha's brother because Devon had told him something to the effect of, you know, that's my little sister. If I find out that he did anything to her, you know, I think I'm going to go to jail for the rest of my life. That type of thing.
I think there's a lot of brothers or siblings that would say that for their other sibling.
Yeah, especially when you talk about, you know, a brother and a sister. You're going to protect your sister.
Yeah.
For sure. True Crime All the Time Unsolved is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to Gibby and I talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you can save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $700. On average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year. So you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $698 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You've probably got goals for the new year, and Factor is here to help you achieve each and every one of them. Save time and have the energy you need to tackle everything on your to-do list with Factor's ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. My wife and I have been eating Factor's for over a year. Every week, they are amazing. 2.5 minutes in the microwave, cook time, and you have yourself an awesome tasting meal. No matter your lifestyle, Factor has the meals to help you live it to the fullest. They have keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, and protein plus meals on the menu each week. These are meals prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians. Each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long. Factor is a great way to cut back on takeout. Not only is Factor cheaper than takeout, but meals are ready quicker than restaurant delivery. Like I said, in just a little over 2 minutes. Head to factor75.com/TCAT60 and use code TCAT60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code TCAT60 at factor75.com/TCAT60 to get 60% off your first box. You know, we're all trying to save money on our grocery shopping now more than ever, and Thrive Market has really helped my family make that happen. Thrive Market is our go-to for all of our grocery and household essentials, and you get the convenience of getting it all quickly shipped to your doorstep. It's a huge time saver. They have some great brands, Meyer brand hand soap, and I always get some Moon Cheese in every order. And as a Thrive Market member, I can save money on every single order. On average, I save over 30% each time. Thrive Market has a deals page that changes daily, and they have a price match guarantee. I love the way that their website has these filters that allows you to narrow your searches, whether you're looking for gluten-free snacks or non-toxic cleaning essentials. When you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Join Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/TCAT for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/TCAT, thrivemarket.com/TCAT. Keyshae's boyfriend said that he cared about her. They had an argument on the night she went missing, but he said he would never hurt her. And for her part, Tony does not seem to be suspicious of Keyshae's boyfriend. According to Dateline, Tony believes that Keyshae's friend knows more than what she's telling, saying, "I think she knows more about this man than she's letting on. The police say they questioned her." Okay, so this is the female friend that Tony doesn't like.
Right, that's having or had a relationship with Otis.
Yes. The month after Keyshae's disappearance, Tony reported that people prank called her, claiming to be Keyshae. She told 8 News, "It's been terrible. People calling my phone, talking about mom, come get me. So it's hard for me to do certain stuff because I'm scared."
So I know this disturbs both of us, but I know you really have a big issue with this kind of stuff.
Because it seems to come up in so many cases. How can someone who knows that a person is missing think that it's funny or that it's a prank to call a grieving mother and pretend to be her missing daughter?
Yeah, I don't see any humor in it.
Dude, it's sadistic. And I just don't understand where people's heads are at when it comes to this type of stuff. You know, obviously, you know, we have depraved killers.
Sure.
We profile them all the time on True Crime All the Time. This is something different. I'm assuming that these individuals didn't have anything to do with Keyshae's disappearance. Somehow they're getting enjoyment, though, out of making these calls and harassing the mother and pretending to be the daughter. And I mean, I don't know, man. It puts you in a special class of person.
It does.
To be able to do something like that, in my opinion. Tony said that besides the prank calls, her community was helpful and the police contacted her almost every other day.
Well, that's good. That's what the police should be doing.
Well, yeah, the police and then the community. You know, that's something that we see time and time again. The community rallying around something like this, whether it's people donating their time to do grid searches or pass out flyers or whatever it is, bring food. It's amazing to me how people can really come together in a time of crisis to help someone out. Every April since Keyshae went missing, Tony has partnered with the Richmond PD and the mayor to put together a missing persons day. Hundreds of people attend to learn how to prevent others from going missing. Tony also runs a missing persons organization called the Keyshae Foundation. Less than a year after Keyshae disappeared, Devon Jacobs was killed. He was just 25 years old. On January 8th, 2017, Tony's nephew came to her house and told her that Devon had been shot. Tony didn't believe it at first, but she tried to call Devon and he didn't answer. She asked her nephew to take her to where he claimed he was shot. the police were already at the location. Tony was told that the coroner had taken the body. So she went to the police station and beat on the door until someone answered. And that's when she learned that he had been killed. Devon Jacobs was found dead around 11 p.m. at a Motel 6 in Richmond. Witnesses heard two men fighting, followed by gunshots. According to the Richmond Times-Dispatch, the shooter, 39-year-old James Henshaw, allegedly rented a car for Devon Jacobs, which Devon never returned. The police said that the argument over this car was the motive for the shooting. Henshaw turned himself in the next day. Tony told 8 News that she didn't know why Devon was at the motel, and she didn't know James Henshaw.
Man, you know, we started this podcast off talking about how close-knit this family was, the three of them. And now, at this point, there's just Tony, right? Her daughter's been missing for over a year at this point. Her son has been murdered. I don't know how you continue on at that point.
Well, you know, people find the strength. I'm with you. I don't know how, but people do it. But I just think about, you know, how much grief that is and what is really a short amount of time.
Yeah.
You only have 2 kids and now one's missing and the other one is dead. I mean, that you talk about devastation, man, that is it. According to WTVR, in November 2017, the Richmond police announced that they suspected foul play in Quiche's disappearance. Major Crimes Detective William Thompson said, Quiche's family understands the scope and magnitude of this investigation. This is not a young lady that just decided to run away or move to another state. It's not her character to not call her family or friends in 14 months when she would reach out to them every day. Detectives have worked diligently in an effort to locate and find Miss Jacobs. We hope that publicizing our belief that she was met with foul play might prompt others to come forward with information that will help solve this case.
I'm glad the police put that out there. I think it needed to be put out there.
Yeah, I think some people would make the argument that it probably didn't need to take 14 months to come to that determination. You know, Tony said it right up front, right? I talk to my daughter every day,
right,
multiple times a day. Now, I get it. This detective is saying, you know, this is not a young lady who would go 14 months without calling her family. I'm saying this is a young lady who wouldn't go days or a week without calling her family.
Yeah.
But Tony told Dateline that she knew there was foul play because of her conversation with Otis and because the police said they found blood. Like, they said it could have came from a struggle or something like that. That's what Tony said. Crime Insider sources told John Burkett of CBS6 that drops of Quiche's blood were found on some clothing inside the apartment. According to Tony, there was not enough blood to suggest that she died in the house. And I don't know what to make of that. You know, drops of blood, drops.
Yeah.
You know, how much are we really talking about? Could it be from a bloody nose? Could it be from a nick on your finger type blood?
And how much blood does need to be there
to think that she actually died in that house? Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I just don't know what that amount, whatever that amount is, conclusively says, whether it says anything other than she bled in that home for some reason. Now, could there have been more blood that was not found, that was cleaned up, that was disposed of in another way?
Absolutely, there could have been.
And this blood was missed. Somebody didn't know that, you know, it got on their clothing.
All possibilities.
But isn't that the struggle with some of these unsolved cases? It's like you get nuggets of information. But what does this nugget mean? And what does that nugget mean? Or what do some of these things mean in relation to each other?
Yeah.
It's tough. Tony told Dateline that the police said they tried to question Otis a couple of times, but the first time they said right before they got there, he was on suicide watch. And then a couple of times after that, they said he was on medication. He acted like he didn't know who they were or couldn't understand what he or they were talking about. Okay. Sounds like he was out of it. Or he was putting on an act.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to have to answer questions. One or the other. On February 13th, 2018, James Henshaw was found guilty of second-degree murder. The jury recommended a 15-year sentence. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported that a woman who was in the motel room said she saw the two men fighting before two shots rang out. Henshaw's attorney tried to argue self-defense, but Devon Jacobs was unarmed when the two men got into a fight. And I would think self-defense is much harder to argue when the person doing the shooting has a gun and the person who gets shot does not.
And is not able to speak on his behalf.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't tell his side of the story. Now, I'm not saying there would never be a scenario where someone's coming after you, even though they don't have a gun, and you feel like your life is in danger. I'm sure there is
right. A
scenario like that. I'm just saying it's a harder argument to make. According to the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Henshaw was not formally sentenced. In February 2019, he was granted a new trial, and the judge set aside the verdict based on false and misleading evidence. All right, so we've already talked about, you know, all these things that Tony's going through. Missing daughter. Her son is shot and killed. Now, the person who killed him has his guilty verdict set aside and is going to be tried again.
Yeah.
Just one more thing that this woman is going through. I mean, you really have to feel for her.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, I'm sure she's waking up and going, again, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. On June 4th, 2019, James Henshaw pleaded no contest to voluntary manslaughter. Tony told CBS 6 that before Henshaw's formal sentencing, he fired his attorney. The assistant Commonwealth attorney handling the case resigned, and the Commonwealth attorney took on the case. The Commonwealth attorney asked Tony if she was okay with a plea deal. She said she wanted them to go to trial, but Henshaw accepted a plea deal and was sentenced to 10 years with 5 years suspended and credit for time served, meaning he'd only spend about 3.5 more years in prison.
What's a whole lot of shaking up in that scenario right there?
Yeah, we don't know what his original sentence would have been because he was never actually sentenced. But I would have to think that it was going to be a heck of a lot longer for second degree murder versus voluntary manslaughter.
I mean, 5 years, pretty light for what occurred, but it was agreed upon. So that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how that actually all went down. It sounds as if the prosecution wanted her opinion on the plea deal. She said she wanted to go to trial, but the plea deal happened anyway.
Well, ask me what my opinion is if you're going to go that direction anyhow.
Yeah, but we have seen that.
Sure we have.
Where prosecutors make the decision to go a route in which, you know, the family's not happy or that, you know, it's something different than what they want to happen. Now, I do think for the most part, they try to take them into consideration, sure. But yeah. It doesn't happen all the time. In 2021, Keyshia Jacobs was featured in an HBO docuseries titled Black and Missing. The purpose of the series is to raise awareness about disparities in missing persons cases. Oxygen wrote, Black and Missing focuses on the consistent devaluation of Black victims and missing persons. As the series points out, most people can't even name 3 missing Black people. Instead, such cases get buried under piles of missing persons cases of white women like Gabby Petito. And it's so true. It's something you and I have talked about time and time again.
Right.
Not to take anything away from the Gabby Petito case.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she was a victim as well. But it doesn't take a Harvard mathematician to put the numbers together. I mean, you can just see it by watching the news.
Yeah.
Which cases get more airtime? And there's no doubt that it's the Gabby Petitos of the world. They should get airtime. And I don't want to
should be equal airtime.
Say it, saying. Yeah, incorrectly.
Yeah.
There just shouldn't be the disparity that there is. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you're right. And the numbers are out there. The proof is in the pudding.
Oh, and it's been that way for a very long time. Sure. And it's not just the coverage. We've seen where it's also the resources put into the investigation. It's just wrong.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of awareness around it
mm-hmm.
over the past, I'd say maybe 2 years. Maybe you could probably go back
even further.
Further, but definitely you're seeing more awareness around it, not only with conversations about it in podcasts, but also in news, also in different media sources. You're seeing the conversation about it. So,
but has it changed?
Well,
and
yet to be determined.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it so much. Because I do a lot of reading of headlines.
Yeah.
It's not just TV. It's what pops up on my feed.
Yeah.
So, I we may be talking about it a lot, but I'm not sure things are changing as quickly as they should be.
Yeah. Hopefully it will.
Tony has said that she called and pleaded with the FBI for help, but didn't receive help from them. She also reached out to the Black and Missing Foundation because she felt ignored. They help provide funding to maintain awareness of Keyshia's case. And the FBI, you know, that we've talked about a number of times.
Sure.
What cases do they get involved in and which ones do they not? You know, some cases are just not within their scope, right? My understanding is a case has to meet certain criteria. Now, maybe they can get involved in any case they want, but I think as a mandate, you know, you're talking about crossing state lines, federal laws. I don't know. There's certain things I thought.
Criteria, yeah.
Yeah. So we've talked about Tony appearing on the Dateline Missing in America podcast a few times. This occurred in August 2022. She said that she believes Keyshia is still alive. Saying, I feel it in my heart, like she is. Everything in me is telling me she is. Before I found out my son was deceased, I knew something was wrong. I felt it. I felt it in my heart, and I found out. I thought it would be Keyshia, but I found out it was him. But everything else in me is telling me she's alive, and I have to fight. I have to find her, and she needs me to find her, and I can't give up.
They always say a mother knows.
Yeah, and she had a feeling it just was about the wrong child. But I'm telling you right now, I have an immense amount of respect for this woman.
Sure.
She's a fighter.
Yeah.
She's not going to give up.
No.
She sounds like she'll butt heads with people. She'll badger people. And you have to admire that because she only has one goal at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, finding her daughter and or finding out what happened to her.
Yeah.
I think those are all, you know,
tied together,
combined. Yeah. She'll call anybody she has to. She'll go to any part of town she has to.
I feel like she, at this point, she has nothing to lose.
No.
Right? So she's going to do what she needs to do.
Tony told Dateline that she believed Keyshia was trafficked. She talked about the incident with the woman who told her about her violent encounter with Otis. She said, his intention was to keep her. He abducted her, held her, you know. But when everybody looked for her, he was like, I got to give her away because he ran. He ran and they caught him somewhere up in Maryland. I believe that he gave her to somebody. Now, she's saying this and it's her belief. I get that.
Yeah.
I don't know that she has any evidence or, you know, facts to back this up, it sounds like it's just what she believes happened to her daughter.
Yeah, it's her theory.
Tony said that there's a new detective on the case, and she believes they're still trying to find Keisha. She also said about Devon's murder, "I don't believe I fully mourn my son's death because I still have to fight for Keisha. So the fact that she's out there, that pushes me. It pushes me, and I have to do what the mother has to do. And I have to fight for my daughter because apparently no one else is going to fight for her like me."
Well, it's kind of like what we just talked about, like you said. She's going to do what she has to do.
But I also think that last statement is true. No one's going to fight for her like Tony. I mean, the police are going to do their job, hopefully, right? That's what you hope. And there are some police we've seen in different cases who take things very personally, you know, even going so far as to keep pictures of, you know, a specific missing person on their desk. But it's still, at the end of the day, not their daughter.
No.
So there's no way that they're going to fight for her like her mother. No one is.
And with every year it passes, you have to be concerned that the interest might fade a little bit.
Well, and I think that's why she's worked so hard, Tony has, to keep, you know, Keisha's story out there. Yeah. She's got some funding from different places just to try to, you know, keep the awareness up, right? That's very important because in the world we live in today, with things happening so quickly, news stories happening so quickly, it's kind of easy for a story to kind of get buried because all these new things are happening. In September 2022, CBS6 reported that former Richmond jail inmate Dejani G reached out to Crime Insider reporter John Burkett to discuss the Keisha Jacobs case. Burkett partnered with the Reopen the Case Foundation to highlight Virginia cold cases. So apparently Dejani had seen their story and wanted to reach out, serving time in the Richmond jail on an attempted murder charge. The attempted murder charge was dismissed. But it turns out that Dejani also lived in the house where Keisha was last seen alive.
So he's roomies with Otis.
That's what it sounds like. In 2017, John Burkett learned about a person of interest in the Keisha Jacobs case. But at that time, the Richmond police asked for that person's name not to be made public because of the ongoing investigation. It turned out that this was Otis Tucker. Tony told outlets that Otis went by Omar and said that her big concern at this point is him doing it to somebody else, or by the time the Commonwealth's attorney decides to press charges to do what they need to do, he's going to run and it's going to prolong the process. Otis Tucker was questioned but never charged in relation to Keisha's disappearance. Otis was arrested and served time for strangling a woman in the same home where Keisha was last seen. According to News 4 JAX, in 2016, Otis Tucker was sentenced to 5 years in prison after pleading guilty to strangulation and unlawful bodily injury. A rape charge was dropped. The woman who was attacked sent a message to CBS6 on Facebook saying, "After he attacked me, we fist fought until he got me locked down in a position that I couldn't stop him from strangling me. When I woke up, I was tied up. About 30 minutes later, Keisha showed up, but he sent her away." This woman got away from Otis Tucker after he drugged her, saying, "The only way I even got away was because he drugged me with Remeron, a psych medicine. I have a tolerance, so it took 2 hours. He untied me after drugging me, and I got up, got dressed like it was nothing, and he let me leave."
So Otis obviously has a propensity for violence.
Yeah. Yeah. Big word. Hopefully you got that from that calendar I gave you.
Absolutely.
Good word, though. Good word choice. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, this is documented. So you have to ask the question, what other things has this guy done that maybe have not been documented?
Yeah.
But what I want to go back to is this woman saying that Keyshia showed up at the house. And one of the things that ran through my mind was, okay, if this really happened, as far as the Keyshia showing up and Otis sending her away, did he possibly later realize or think that she saw too much? She saw this encounter that he had where he was strangling this woman.
Yeah.
And thought that I can't have that. It's just a thought.
Well, I think it's a good thought.
So I mentioned Dejani. She invited Otis Tucker to the house in Churchill to take care of her grandmother, who also lived in the house. She met him at work and spent time with him and Keyshia Jacobs. She told John Burkett, "I will say not even a week went past, and I called the police and tried to get him removed from my great-grandma's house." They basically said he's a resident, and they couldn't remove him from the house. And I said, "He hasn't been here for even 30 days. He only paid $30, and I'm willing to give him his $30 back because I don't feel safe with him in the house." Dejani also talked to John Burkett about the drug use inside the home. Her great-grandma refused to ask Otis to leave, so Dejani left. So, you know, this is a strange situation, but, you know, does provide a little bit of insight. You know, it seems to me that Dejani realized very quickly that Otis Tucker was a bad guy. She tried to get him removed, couldn't. So she left. He's essentially living there with her great grandmother.
Yeah.
So either she wasn't that worried about her great grandmother, or she was so scared that she just could not stay there.
Didn't want to be around it.
Tony Jacobs told CBS6, "I know Detective Coates gave the information to the Commonwealth's attorney, and I've been calling and calling, and they keep telling me this is a process. What kind of process do you need? It's been going on 6 years. September 26, 2022, it will be 6 years. According to 8 News, Tony Jacobs held a press conference on September 26, 2022. She held up a picture of Otis Lee Tucker and said, "He was the last person and knows my daughter's whereabouts and what happened to my daughter. I'm fighting. I'm fighting with everything in me. And it's so hard sometimes."
It's a mom wanting answers. It's a mom wanting action.
Yeah, it is. But again, you're holding a press conference, holding up a picture of this guy and basically calling him out. Now, you got to have some stones to do that.
Sure.
Because there's a very good chance this guy's not going to like that.
Right.
And what's he going to do to you?
But this is a mom that is on a mission and has nothing to lose.
Yeah. Again, I don't think she cares about that. I don't think she thinks about that. According to WRIC, Tony questioned the police and said that Otis Tucker requested that another detective search his home after Keyshia disappeared. She said for him to call another detective to the house after I had already called police to search it, and he had a different detective search his home who wasn't the detective on Keyshia's case. I found out later this was the detective who charged him for something else he did. Why did Otis feel so comfortable with this detective?
Yeah, it sounds like she felt like maybe there was some type of agreement or treatment from the one detective on his current case versus the detective that was working her daughter's case.
Yeah, well, she doesn't come out and say it, but No. It's almost as if she's alluding to the possibility that there's something hinky.
Yeah, and I think she just
going on
wants an explanation about it.
On November 1st, 2022, a woman was found dead in a Jacksonville, Florida apartment. The police were called to the apartment around 9 p.m. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office deputies responded to check on a disturbance. Neighbors reported hearing banging and screaming and saw a man wearing all black leaving through the back of the apartment. A neighbor told First Coast News that they heard glass shattering and a possible gunshot. The police found a woman's body inside the residence. The police searched overnight for their suspect. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office homicide team identified Otis Tucker as the suspect responsible. He was arrested about 12 hours after the incident. He was arrested for second-degree murder and tampering with evidence.
Well, like we said, we knew he's was a bad individual.
Yeah, and it seems as though he continued on committing, you know, bad acts. I go back to my question. These are the things we know about. What do we not know about this individual and what he's done over the years?
Very true.
On November 4th, 2022, the victim was identified as 34-year-old Ashley Denise Fowler. She was a mother to three boys. Ashley's family told News 4 JAX they'd never heard of Otis Tucker. Ashley's brother said she walked through the apartment complex as a shortcut, but didn't hang out there. Her family said she was beaten and strangled, but they were still waiting on an official cause of death. A Richmond PD spokesperson gave a statement to News 4 JAX saying the investigation into the disappearance of Keisha Jacobs is active and ongoing. RPD is aware of developments in this case, and our lead detective is in contact with the authorities in Jacksonville, Florida. Anyone with information about the disappearance of Keisha Jacobs is asked to call Major Crimes Detective Coates at 804-646-0729 or Crime Stoppers at 804-780-1000. The Virginia Department of Corrections confirmed that Otis Tucker was out on probation and was allowed to move to Florida with his fiance. But apparently his supervision continued there. In July 2022, he was arrested by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office for making false 911 calls and lying to law enforcement. A Virginia DOC spokesperson said they didn't take any action after his arrest because he hadn't been convicted. It's up to the probation officer to issue a warrant for violation of probation, so he was released.
So because this probation officer chose not to issue a warrant, he didn't go back to jail, so he was free to kill Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no way around it. Tony said she was disappointed and that she had recently been pushing the Commonwealth to look into Otis Tucker. She thought it was a blow to the investigation when he went to Florida. She told 8 News, "I'm just hoping that justice comes on both our cases. I'm saddened by the loss of that young lady's life. I really am. And my heart goes out to the family." As of January 2023, Keisha Jacobs has not been seen or heard from since she went missing. Keisha is a black woman, 5'3", 100 pounds, with brown hair, brown eyes, a leaf tattoo on her right calf, 2 paw print tattoos on her right thigh, a flower on her right shoulder, and a tattoo on her right hand. So, Gibbs, as we wrap up this case, you know, we talked a lot about Toni. Obviously, she's gone through a lot of heartbreak. She continues to because she still doesn't know.
Yeah.
Where Keisha is or what happened to her. I don't think there's any doubt that she believes Otis Tucker is either directly responsible or had a hand in or knows what happened to Keisha. I just don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, she's holding his picture up
right
in a press conference.
She's like, he's got something to do with it.
Right.
Right. Either directly or indirectly, but he knows something.
Now, she's not coming out and calling him a killer because
right.
That wouldn't be smart, but I don't think it's tough to read between the lines and figure out kind of where, you know, her thought process is at this point.
But this case is really sad, you know, with her daughter, her son, all that happening.
And so close together.
Yes.
You know, we don't have any information to say that Otis Tucker did this, did that. What I will say is that, you know, it seems like he's, like you said, a really bad guy.
Sure.
And anyone who's capable of doing the things he has done is certainly capable of being responsible for, you know, what happened to Keisha. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Yeah.
I can't say that he did it because I don't know
that. We don't know that. Yeah.
I just can say that he has it in him because of all the other things that he's done. And those are, again, only the things that we know about.
Right, right.
But that's it for our episode on the disappearance of Keyshia Jacobs. We got some voicemails, Gibbs. You want to check those out?
Yeah, let's hear them.
Hey, Mike and Gibby. This is Jennifer from Greeley, Colorado. I listen to all of True Crime All the Time, and I'm backtracking to True Crime All the Time Unsolved. Love the voicemails. And just, I'm listening to episode 50 on Blair Adams on Unsolved, and I just feel like I found my spirit animal as you're talking about Chipotle coupons and a tube of chapstick in your fanny pack, because that's like right up my alley. And I'm listening to everything backwards. I started at the most recent and went backwards because it was the easiest. But love listening to you guys, and thank you for all you do. Stay safe and keep your own time ticking. Hey, Mike and Gibby, it's Jennifer from Greeley, Colorado again, and I just left a message. I wanted to add, I haven't heard that you've done this. There's a case, an unsolved case out of this area for Aubrey Sokow. She went missing in Nepal, and I believe it's still active. So I'd be super interested to get your guys' take on it. You did another murder case in this area that I found interesting, and it was just awesome to hear about. Thanks.
There's your Chipotle showing up again.
Yep.
And
your fanny pack.
Well, but you're the one that likes to put that chapstick all over your lips.
I do. I have to, man. The amount of talking I do.
Yeah.
They get chapped. We have not done that case. It does not sound familiar, so we'll definitely look into it. And we appreciate the voicemail.
We do.
Hi, Mike and Gibby. My name's Lauren. I'm from a small town in Connecticut. I started listening to you when I started working on a farm every day by myself, and I have literally been obsessed ever since. I wanted to say that, Gibby, first, I think it's time you fight back against Mike. Start calling him out on what he says wrong. I think that'd be great. And second, it just makes me really happy how you guys talk about and don't really truly bully each other for saying things wrong, because I relate to Gibby and sometimes messing up my words, and a lot of people make fun of me for it. And when I hear Mike go and kind of in a friendly way poke fun at Gibby, it just makes me feel better about myself and the mess ups I do when reading out loud. So thanks for everything. You literally get me through my days. So keep your own time ticking. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, listen, I don't ever mess up.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is the way it is to be said.
So I do mess up.
You do.
And you are supposed to catch me and give me a hard time, but there's two reasons why you don't. First of all, this is my theory.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess up your Mr. Clean image.
Oh,
no. Even though in real life, you give me you know what all the time. The second thing is sometimes I don't think you catch it. You're not paying attention. It flies right over your head, and so you don't catch it.
Or the third option, I just don't know that you messed up, which is more likely.
Like, that could be,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, I think he said that right.
Yeah.
Because you know? I'm not sure,
so you don't want to exactly. say anything. That could be. That
exactly.
Because I mess up plenty. All right, we appreciate all the voicemails.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, buddy, that's it for another episode of True Crime All the Time Unsolved. So for Mike
and Gibby,
stay safe and keep your own time ticking.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.